This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, Charlie, good morning.
And good morning to you, you bushy, wild-looking logger.
Fuzzy-faced Frank.
Came out of the woods kind of guy.
Right. But you know something? I want to thank you. I can't name everybody individually.
No,
but
gosh.
A whole bunch of listeners got behind my campaign for Movember, which is to raise money for men's health, many, many areas. But anyway, I'm over my goal, 3,101.
Well done, Frankie.
But, you know, I'm going to hold it there as far as on the air sort of mentions, because we have a fabulous campaign that we do every year for the Scott Mission. Our 12th annual Holiday Hope Fund gets underway on Monday.
Okay.
So I don't want to detract anything from that. But can I just quickly say a big thank you to Eric Hsu, who is the guy who runs the office at Movember, and he's been most helpful getting my picture up, changing it, and helping me with some. I get lost in some of the technical stuff.
But really?
He straightens me out. So, Eric, I promised him a shout-out. There's your shout-out. A star is born. Anyway, here we are
for
the Garden Show.
We are.
Indeed. And let me give out the phone numbers here.
Good idea.
Okay, because we've got one person online. We need more.
We'll see.
Okay. Anywhere in Ontario, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. If you're in the Toronto area, 416-360-0740. And one question per call.
Call early.
Call early, call often, right? And if you happen to be a first-time caller, let Carlos, our operator, know. That's what you're going to hear for your first time. You get your garden wings,
that's
right?
That's right. And garden wings are a handy thing. It gives you an opportunity to be like a drone, right? So you get to go up into the air and see the garden from
above.
Well,
are you just a creative little devil?
Well, because you know what? I have this. I want to do that in my garden. Like, I need garden wings.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, every time I look at it, I'm just seeing little chunks. Yeah. It's so big. I really need a drone or wings.
Well, if they can use drones to get drugs into the pen for the
good point.
Yeah.
Should be able to use a drone.
You should be able to for the garden, for God's sake. Jake?
Huh? Garden wings. That's all it is. Just garden wings.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Hey, just want to say thank you to everybody for the emails they have sent in the past.
Yep.
Give everybody a heads up. It is possible we are going to see a change up to our program in weeks to come. This might be our last face-to-face in studio.
Because of the lockdown? Yep.
Because of the changes in the pandemic and Toronto lockdown. So I know I will not be in the studio next week. We're not sure exactly how this will all work out,
right.
But the Garden Show will always prevail.
We'll come through.
Yes. We will, one way or the other.
We might have to rely on emails as we did before.
So just write this down, c.dobbin. @mzmedia.com.
You've got it.
And get your questions ready for email, just to be ready, because, you know, otherwise you're going to listen to Frank and I blather on about God knows what next week if we don't have good questions.
Oh, speaking of blathering on.
Oh, yes.
You had mentioned right off the top, hey, I want to talk about feeding birds, because Maureen Boyce sent you a very nice email.
And said thank
suggesting
you.
That.
Yeah, tell me more. So thanks, Maureen. I love feedback.
Yep.
So again, you know, it doesn't have to be a question. If you're sending an email, send some feedback, anything you want.
Yep.
Just happy to hear from the listeners. Because sometimes it feels like it's just Frank and I talking to each other in here.
Yes.
Oh, really? You know, they talk about marriages breaking down. Like, hello. Partnerships.
Well, I got to tell you, you're the easiest person to work with I've ever worked with. Really, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Except when I tease you so badly that you start to cry.
Know. Well, and then I get kicked in the ankles under the table.
I know. And then you get fan mail. So stop complaining.
All right. We got to take a break, and we're coming right back. We'll be saying hi. Let's see, to
Irma.
Irma in Toronto. Hang tight. We're coming back at you right here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie. Let's get out just around the corner here in Toronto. Say hi, good morning to Irma. Welcome to the show, Irma.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. I have a question about poinsettias, which I kept from last Christmas in my backyard all summer. They got watered pretty well. Anyways, when I was away most of the summer, and when I came back, I found them. They were sort of semi-covered by some other plants, like I have pole beans and so on.
Yep.
And they looked so healthy that it just came to me that I would like to bring them back to, I guess you call it, bloom.
Yeah.
And then they turn into the red leaves.
Yeah, so where is that poinsettia now?
Well, there are little tinges of red in the small stems.
Is the poinsettia in your house or outside?
The poinsettia is now in the house.
Good.
And I have them in the window during the day, and then I put them in the dark spot at night.
Perfect. That's exactly what you need to do.
Wow, you've answered
and
your own question.
Do I need to fertilize it? I should have done that during the summer.
Exactly. How is it a fairly bushy plant, good-looking, healthy, fat?
Very healthy-looking plant. That's why I thought I'd do it just for a lark.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Remember, this is dark days. We're not yet at the shortest day yet. So plant growth is very, very slow, and that's why it can be a problem to fertilize when the plant can't use the fertilizer.
Yeah, yeah.
So wait until March or April, something like that. But for now, what you're doing is perfect. Into the dark for the night, preferably a good 10-hour, 12-hour night.
And then bring it
back onto the windowsill, water as necessary, and it's going to be gorgeous for Christmas.
Yeah. So, but water sparingly, but keep them watered.
Just like you would normally. Feel the soil. When it starts to feel a bit dry, give it some water.
Yeah, I sort of like doing those things and see what happens.
Yeah, good for you. Sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Okay. Thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning.
I wasn't quite sure if I'm doing the right thing.
You are.
Okay.
You answered your own question. Oh. How about that?
I love it.
Self-administering.
Irma's going to get on and be our poinsettia specialist for the future Christmases.
Also, maybe just around the corner is Evelyn, who's on the line right now. Good morning, Evelyn. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie. And I have to thank you so much for being on air. I look forward to it every Saturday.
Oh, thanks.
It really is a highlight of my week after a long week of work.
Bless your heart.
Oh, good.
So thank you. I have actually an old birch tree, a white birch, on my front lawn on a hill, which is south-facing. Mm-hmm. And you're going to laugh, but the tree's probably over 40 years.
It's an old birch.
Yeah, and it's been lovely and lots of nice memories about the birch. Mm-hmm. But it is, I think, on its last legs. In the days where we could use Saigon, we sort of doctored it along, but that's not the case now. And we noticed a woodpecker in it the other week, which isn't a good sign.
No, not at all.
No.
Likely there's something living in there, some insects.
Yeah.
But you know what? 40 years is a really good average for a birch. Birch are not long-lived trees. So interesting. I teach students, obviously, at Durham College, and then and try and explain some, the stages of growth in plants. And, when a seed germinates, it's a little seedling, and then it goes through a juvenile phase and reproductive phase, and then it matures, et cetera. And I explain to them, a redwood tree at 40 years old is still a baby, whereas a birch at 40 years old is very old.
Way out.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it's so different between the species. And of course, keeping in mind that you mentioned it's on a hill facing south. So it's a fairly well-drained area, I would think. And birch, of course, don't want to be dry for any extensive periods of time. They like their moisture. So that,
I think in some ways it is dry because it's on a hill.
Hot spot. So I think you're right. I mean, you can always bring in a certified arborist to do an inspection at no cost to you, and make recommendations.
Yeah.
So it is possible, who knows what the health, longevity of the tree is, even if it's another 5 or 10 years, maybe it's worth having, them come back and do the proper insecticidal care, deep root feeding, trimming, whatever they're going to recommend. But that is maybe worth doing, because you'd be amazed how much value a tree adds to the price of your home and the value of your property.
Oh, absolutely. So, and if it ever came down, there would be a lot of structural work we'd have to do.
Right. So there's that. And because think of that wind we had last Sunday. So yeah. There's that, you know, big winds we've been having. So that fear of it coming down. But also the big hole it would leave, right? So yeah. You're not going to just put a big tree in right away. So that's what I would do in terms of getting, you know, be preventative, get an expert on the property.
Thank you. And do you have a recommendation? We've used Shady Tree, I think.
Shady Lane, rather. Is good, very good. Big Toronto-based company. Davy Tree is a very large North American-based company who I've recommended in the past, and they do have offices absolutely everywhere. So, but just make sure whoever you're calling is a certified arborist, not, you know, Joe with a chainsaw.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, Evelyn.
Yeah.
All the best to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Speaking of trees, I was relating a problem
yes,
I had.
Yes, tell us about your latest run-in with a tree, Frank.
Well, this past week, I started to encounter pains on the left side of my chest where I had the cancer operation. Mm-hmm. I'm going, oh, God, no. So it started to get worse and worse and worse. So I finally, yesterday, went to the Emerge in Newmarket, South Lake. I was there for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And they gave me a blood sample, a blood work, rather, EKG,
CAT
scan, and X-ray. Mm. All for naught. There
couldn't
was nothing
figure
wrong.
It out. Couldn't, yeah.
No, no. Yeah. I get home and I'm going, what? Why is my chest
so sore?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Then it dawned on me.
Yes.
The winds last Sunday brought down a tree right across our road through the forest.
Your laneway. Yes.
Yeah, it's a laneway. You're right.
Your deer track.
And I tried, of course, I tried my best to get the darn thing off. And I'm tugging it, and I obviously
strained
some muscles
in your
and
chest.
And that's what the hell the problem was. Well, I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe it either.
Yeah, I know. What an idiot.
I know. Oh. We think we're Superman. And then,
yeah,
and then of
know.
Course, 5 days later, it's like, what did
Wait a
I
minute.
Do?
Yeah, I know. Oh, dear. Anyway, my tail of
well,
wool. There you go.
But it's not a at least it's sorted out.
Yes.
You know it's a muscle thing. So you're going to go
exactly
home.
Right.
You're going to get some nice, something warm, a heating pad.
Yeah, right.
Something that's going to do a little muscle relaxing. We just heard a cannabis commercial here. Maybe we should get you some real chill-out cannabis products.
And, you're right.
And
oh,
just let
brother,
you sleep that one
what
off.
What an idiot. Anyway, we've got to take a break here, but let me remind you of the phone numbers, my friends. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And don't forget to let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller. We're coming back to say hi to Barb in Burlington, next on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, you know, Charlie, here we are looking out at Liberty Village where it's pretty cloudy.
It's a gray day.
Yeah. Let me bring a little sunshine for us, all right?
Good idea.
And I'm hoping Barbara of Burlington will supply that. Hey, good morning, Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Morning.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Charlie and Frank.
There we are.
Good morning.
You sound sunshiny.
What's
oh, yes. I always have a positive outlook.
Good for you.
I just got a quick question for you. I got my son and daughter-in-law had a beautiful wisteria in their garden last year, and I was mad on it. And anyway, they had seeds came on it, and I took some of the seeds, and I thought, well, I'd have a go at growing them. I didn't think much about it, but I put them in a little pot, and they started to grow, and I was really thrilled, and I looked after it all this summer. I've been looking after it, and it grew till about, it was about 12 inches long, the
nice.
Vine on the wisteria, and I was so excited. So I thought, well, I better, you know, put the pot and plant it in the garden for winter, like just before winter I did it. Mm-hmm. So I planted it, yeah, I did by the fence, so it would, you know, when it grew. I know it takes 15 years before
flower.
The flowers come on seeds. I think that's, but they say
it's
that they don't
average.
Flower straight away, but
no.
I thought, well, I'd have a go.
Yeah.
So I put it by the fence, and anyway, I've got this rabbit in the garden, and it came along and it ate all the foliage off it.
Oh,
so I'm just left with two sticks. And I'm just wondering, do you think it'll come back in the spring? You know, it's eaten all the green off it.
Yeah.
Like, do you think it will come back in the spring?
Probably, because keep in mind that the leaves aren't important now anyway. You know, winter's coming.
Yeah.
As long as the rabbit didn't take the bark off or the outer tissue on those two little stems.
Yeah. Oh,
if the rabbit just chewed the leaves, you're fine. But what I would do is get a hold of some chicken wire or something that will, you can make like a cylinder and protect what's there from further chewing, because they will get hungrier, right? The rabbits.
Yeah. A little plant skin.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I put chicken wire around it.
Perfect. Perfect.
I seem to have that all over my garden, because this rabbit's been living in my garden for years. You know, it's unbelievable that it exists. You know, I have to admire that it gets through all the winters.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it likes to eat all the things in my garden, along with the squirrels.
Too bad. Well, you know what? Sometimes people will do, they'll put out some corn for the squirrels and some, you know, lettuce or whatever.
Throw them off.
Yeah, just put some food out there for them, so maybe they won't be quite as ready to jump all over your garden plants.
Well, the only thing, I can't do that because we have raccoons as well, I don't want to encourage them.
True.
That's the only downside of putting food out.
Well, and there is a product, it's called, you might have heard me mention it on the radio, called Plant Skid.
So, I took that down, actually.
Yeah, so good. I'm trying it this year. It is, I sprayed high to protect from deer, and I protect low to protect from rabbits on different plants in my garden. And, you know, fingers crossed that everything comes through unscathed.
Yeah, and I just want to tell all the listeners out there, I'm suffering from leaf fatigue at the moment, raking leaves.
I want to say
thank you to all my neighbors who put them out on the curb and they all blow up my road.
Oh, nice.
but thank you for keeping me fit. It keeps me fit anyway.
You're right. Absolutely.
Good stuff.
And leaves, if you don't bag them, but keep them on the property, if you can, they can add a lot of really good quality organic material to the gardens.
True.
Not the lawns, but to the gardens.
Anyway, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and keep well. And
Thank you.
I love your gardening show. There's not many gardening shows on. I don't know why they've cut down on gardening shows, and we've had a lot of lovely nurseries around us close.
Mm-hmm. Considering,
and it's sad to think that they're disappearing, some of these nurseries. Anyway, I won't keep you because people are waiting.
Yeah,
so
thank you,
have
Barbara.
A good day.
Yes,
thank
you too.
Thank you very much, Barbara.
And good point, to Barbara's point, you know, garden centers closing. Everybody's a gardener this year.
Yeah.
Like, this is the year of gardening.
Oh,
who didn't plant
resurgence.
Something? It's a rare person that didn't plant at least a parsley plant.
Okay, we have an online from Rockwood. It's either Im or Iam. Let's get a pronunciation check. Hi, good morning.
I-A-M.
Yep, got it.
I am.
Ian. Yes, I-A-M.
And as in Norway.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we said it's something different showing up on our monitor.
Thank you.
No wonder I was confused.
Welcome
go ahead,
to the
Ian.
Show.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And your technician sounded confused about knowing where Rockwood is. You might tell him it's got a beautiful conservation area.
Sure does.
Lovely surroundings.
Lake.
So, and it's just east of Guelph.
I know. I know it well.
My question for you is that I want to move some elderberry bushes. Is it better now or in the spring?
At this point, I would probably wait till the spring. Or how long have they been where they are?
Sorry?
How long have they been where they are now?
4 or 5 years.
Mm. Right. So usually when we're going to transplant something, the sooner we transplant, the better. Because, you know, elder gets big, right? Maybe that's why you're wanting to move them. They want to be 12 feet tall and 10 feet wide, left on their own to grow. But fall is a great time to transplant. But now we're just getting to that point where it's so late in the season, the new roots will not start to grow because, of course, you know, we always leave roots behind when we transplant. So getting new roots growing is always the point when we first transplant something. Given the time of year, the plants would be likely to get heaved up out of the soil as the frost starts entering into the ground. So in terms of the health and long-term health of the plant, I would be inclined to wait till the spring, till the soil is workable, not too wet. Make sure it's, you know, we're past the really wet spring. And then do the transplanting. Excuse me. It will again impact your final harvest next year, but it should be fine for the following year.
Okay.
And I have a quick anecdote about using buckwheat as a weed killer.
Oh, yeah.
I tried it about 20 years ago, and the farmers that I coffee with had told me that before they had Roundup, they used buckwheat to get rid of twitch grass and things in the field. And I tried it, and it didn't work. And they told me, oh, you planted it too soon.
Oh.
And then this year I've planted it, and came up great. And the neighbor came over and cut my weeds for me. He actually took out all the buckwheat. So I haven't had any. But
no luck
grow,
using buckwheat.
I just wondered if I had it in thick enough. Do you know how much seed per yard I should be putting down?
No, but I could look that up if you like and let you know. I could announce that. Yeah, that's interesting. Of course, buckwheat honey, people love buckwheat honey. People grow buckwheat so that the bees will make that. It's very dark, very tasty honey.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a beautiful bloom.
Yeah, exactly. It's very pretty. All right. So I'll look into that. So
she is now making a note. You are
homework.
Now on the
love the homework
on the homework page, Ian. Thank you very much for calling in. All righty. Let's see. Oh yeah, we got lots of time here before our next break. Jenny in Brampton is on the line. Hey, good morning, Jenny.
Morning.
There.
Hello, Jenny.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
we can.
There, yep.
Good morning. Welcome.
My question is this. I had bought a planter a year ago in the fall, and it contained an ornamental cabbage. I put it in the ground because the season was over, and I thought, well, it's still alive. And it grew to the most beautiful plant. It now has eight of new cabbages, new heads around the cabbage. So can I split it? Can I get more from this plant, or will it just continue to be a single plant?
So when you planted it into the ground last
year,
like that would have been last spring, I assume.
Yes, it was.
So it grew straight up, like it would have been like a little cabbage tree. And now when you say eight, are they down at the bottom or are they all out on
the
tips?
No, it forms a perfect circle. It's a circle, and it looks like a little bush almost, and it has eight heads.
Yep.
Like I counted them all yesterday, wondering if I cut one off and put it in water, would it sprout?
And I wouldn't try that.
But
you're right. They're growing from the root. What you would like to do is and again, we're getting a bit late in the season for this, but sharp knife, you would dig up and you're going to have a big main root there. And all those little baby cabbages are going to be growing off the root. They're like little suckers, if you will. So what you would do with a sharp knife is you would sever the baby cabbages, but you would make sure you have some root attached when you do the cutting away from that main root.
Okay.
So that's like a form of division. You've got some stem, you've got some root, you've got that plant, and you would then plant that into the garden at the same level that it's growing now, no deeper, no higher.
And how many, like if I have eight heads out of that, I mean, do I get eight plants?
Theoretically, if you can, depending on how they're growing, if you can sever them in such a way that each plant gets both stem and root, then you should be able to absolutely get eight plants.
Wow. Would I be better to wait till spring and try this? Than now that it's cold?
Yes, because it's not, the ground is perfect, it's still warm, even the temperatures are quite reasonable to be outside.
Okay.
The problem is that winter is coming and it's going to come pretty soon, and these plants will not get a chance to establish. So the rule of thumb is, if we're going to do any kind of moving of stuff in the fall, or transplanting, planting, anything going in the fall into our lawns or anything, 6 weeks before the first hard frost. You never know when that frost is going to be, but count back 6 weeks from when the average date for the first frost. So, Brampton, your first hard frost is probably end of October anyway. So you'd be wanting to be doing this cabbage work mid-September at the latest.
Okay.
Okay. So spring would be my suggestion.
Spring would be. Okay, great. Yeah. And can you buy cabbage seeds you can.
Yeah. Look for them in the spring. Well,
and they do grow into this beautiful head. It's not like a cabbage.
it's very
flower.
Pretty. There's all different. Well, exactly. It looks like a flower. There are leaves, but they look like flowers.
Yeah.
There's lots of different ornamental cabbages of different shades of blues and purple. Some are frilly. Some aren't frilly. There's some lovely ones out there. So maybe you could purchase seeds on the web, or garden centers might be open By January, yeah. February, and you can be getting them then.
Yeah, Jenny, Patrolman Proctor here. We kind of have extended our one question to several.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We asked.
Bye.
We asked goodbye.
Thanks for
calling.
No,
run. Just a reminder, you know, if you can kind of tailor your question to one question. And at times, yeah, we let you get
like
the second one snuck in there. But it really does kind of cause a problem when we get folks online. Now, let's deal with, first before we go to Lou in Whitby, I want to deal with an email here. Kim in Brampton, subject roses. Hi, Charlie. I've been listening to your show for a very long time, get lots of interesting tips from you, and have sent you emails in the past. I'd like to know about my rose bushes. I bought two plants in early summer. They are growing well, but they got white spots in the leaves, and they're curling up. Mm-hmm. I used soap and water a few times, but it didn't help. Can you please tell me what I can use to get rid of the problem?
All right. Kim in Brampton.
So yeah.
Another great, maybe Jenny's neighbor for all we know. White spots on leaves is a fungus. The white spots will look like, somebody sprinkled baby powder onto the leaves of a rose. So that is called powdery mildew. That is a fungus. Soap and water will not actually solve your problem. As a matter of fact, soap and water will exacerbate your problem. So when you have a fungal disease, you have to treat it with a fungicide. Also know in your heart of hearts, whenever we have fungal diseases, we can't truly ever eradicate them until winter. We'll make them go dormant. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to prevent. We always want to prevent fungal diseases. And some roses are more susceptible than others. So make sure that you've done the following to ensure that you've got the minimal amount of opportunity for any kind of fungal disease to get embedded into your roses. One is make sure they're planted in full sun. So that's 6 hours minimum direct sun every day. No trees over top, no buildings causing shade. Full sun for roses. Make sure there's good air circulation, preferably a nice windy open spot where the wind blows through your roses. When you're watering, avoid wetting the foliage. Obviously, we can't stop the rain getting things wet, but when you're watering your roses, only water the ground. When you're buying roses, choose varieties that are resistant to diseases like powdery mildew. There's lots and lots of great roses out there. There's old heritage varieties, hundreds of roses to choose from. But if you want to minimize, you know, maintenance issues in the garden, try and choose a variety that is resistant to black spot and or both powdery mildew. And then in the spring, this coming spring, get in there with your pruners, prune those roses right back, get all that inner growth out. You got scraggly little bits of branches and stuff growing into itself, into the middle. You've got rubbing going on between some of the branches. So it becomes a real bit of a get down there. Really look at the plant. You want to prune it in the spring. So it's only maybe 3 inches tall. So 8 centimeters tall. Yep. But it should look like an open hand. When I look down on a rose that's been recently pruned, all the growth should be growing to the outside of the center of the plant, just like an open palm, fingers facing out. If you do see weather coming that is going to support fungal diseases like powdery mildew, get to your garden center, buy a garden fungicide like garden sulfur, and use it as per directions.
All righty. A couple of phone lines are open right now in Toronto. Call 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And Lou in Whitby, bless your heart. Hang in there. We're coming right back to you after a few words from our commercial sponsors.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
To Whitby. There's Lou on the line. Thank you for being patient, Lou. Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
I just want to say how much I enjoy the show. I listen to it every Saturday.
Thank you.
My question for you is, I have three beautiful hydrangeas in my backyard. Previous to this, they've always bloomed profusely. This year, I had lots of leaf growth, but only one tiny bloom.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the endless summer varieties.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they have I've always cut them down in the spring, and they've come up and bloomed on the new wood. But this year, no blooms at all.
Okay, so could be one of two things going on. One is flowers or flowering plants cannot consistently produce bountiful blooms every single year. So you'll always find that there's, even, you know, when it comes to, say, apple trees, et cetera, there's going to be years of a big harvest and then years of a lesser harvest. And it's just got to do with the natural physiology of the plant, because it just can't keep producing that level of flowers every single year. It's too much energy. So it could be that it's just was taking a year off, saying, okay, I'm taking a break. I've done a lot of blooming this year. I'm taking a break. Next year, I'll be back. So do what you've done. Do your spring pruning as you have. Do your spring fertilizing or top dressing, as I'm sure you have, and see what happens next year. It is possible that it'll be just as beautiful or not, because hydrangeas are quite famous for being very inconsistent with their blooming.
Okay. It's just that they've always have for many years, about 5 or 6 that I've had them. They've bloomed quite, like I said, quite plentiful.
Yeah, well, there
but
is
this
a
year it was, and it's interesting because my sister, she had the same problem, and she lives. I'm in Whitby. She's in Oshawa. And she had the same issue as well.
Right. But like I say, it's not that uncommon, to the point that the company that sells or sort of invented Endless Summer Hydrangea is called Proven Winners. So if you just Google, you know, Endless Summer Hydrangeas Don't Bloom, it'll take you directly to their website. And they actually have a whole sub-site within their big website on the subject of why aren't my hydrangeas blooming?
Oh, really?
Because it happens that often. So take a peek there too, if you wish, just to clarify that you're doing the right things as recommended. But honestly, it's quite possible that they'll be back in force next year with lots of flowers.
Okay, thanks a lot, Charlie.
Thank you.
And Frank, and I hope you enjoy a good week.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. And the same goes back to you, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let's see, Burlington might be calling. Yes, there's Yvonne. Good morning, Yvonne.
Oh, hi there, you guys.
Morning.
I've called before, and I love your show. I set my alarm to make sure I get up and listen to it.
I love it.
I want to ask you about elephant foot palms, indoor plants, ponytail palm.
Okay, yep.
I've got 3 of them. They're like 30 years old, and they're about 5, 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. The one's doing okay. The other two, they look like they need water. The leaves are all drooping down. And I just wonder, like, one's got growth coming in at the bottom, and at the top it looks terrible. I wonder, can I lop them off at the top and let the new growth come up? Like, I don't know how to prune these back.
So you've had these for a very long time. Are they very pot-bound? I imagine they are, right?
Well, I can't really tell, because I've never taken them out of the pot.
Okay, so 40 years in the same pot, they're likely pretty pot-bound.
Well, no, I think I've transplanted them one time, but they've been in these pots for a long time, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the ways we know it's time to transplant is roots will grow out the bottom of the pot, the drainage holes out of the bottom. Yeah. So that's why I'm just wondering. They're interesting plants. So you're saying you're getting some growth from the bottom of that big fat root?
Yeah, one of them's got growth coming from the bulb, and the other one's got growth coming from beneath on the stem.
Hmm.
So, and then there's a space, and then there's some growth at the top, but that's bare in between. And it just the leaves just kind of hang down as if they look like they need water. The other one upstairs, he's doing fine. He's bright and gray. But
well, that's a good point. Are they in a fair amount of water? Or sorry, sun, I should say?
No, I don't water them too often, like maybe once a month, you know, depending on the weather.
Which is good, yeah. The easiest way to kill them is too much water. What about sun? Have you got them in quite a lot of sun?
Oh, yeah, south and southwest wind. They're right at the window.
Huh.
Like I said, I've had them since I was in my 20s.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to think what's the best thing to do at this point. Can you do me a favor? Can you take a couple of pictures and email them to me?
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just know that the leaves just hang down.
Yeah, exactly. I can imagine what it looks like. So
they don't stick outside.
Bottom line, how to care for ponytail palm is dry. Keep the soil dry, as you know. Mm-hmm. Let them get root bound and don't do any repotting. But when you do repot them, use a pot that's only 1 or 2 larger than the previous pot.
Yeah.
After 40 years, you probably are at that point, but I wouldn't do it now. I'd wait till spring. Be careful, obviously, when you do that repotting, that you don't do any overwatering. Did you fertilize these plants at all?
In the summer, like maybe once a month, to get a little bit of fruit, not a lot.
Yeah, so twice a year at the most in the summer is all you would do. And the watering is very much dependent on
the weather.
Yeah, the temperature they're in, the amount of sun they're in, all that important stuff. And it's hard to tell because you can't stick your finger down in the soil because the root is huge. You don't have a moisture meter, do you?
No.
You know, one of those little probes you can stick in the soil. That can be a handy item with a plant like that because that little probe can go down under and see if, because for all we know, there's moisture down at the bottom of the pot there and, you know, not aware of it. Look closely for any insects, anything strange, different.
Yeah, no, everything's the same. Yeah. I've never been outside.
Never been outside.
But my concern is, can I cut them off at the top?
Well, you really could, yes, you could. It might be worth a try because you've got that fresh green growth coming from the root, which would be like suckers coming from any root. So, yeah, I mean, that would probably be your best bet right now. It's just sharp, clean knife and minimize the size of the wound.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So how do I do that? Just,
well, you sharp knife, just saw off that top growth. You're going to literally saw right into the root, but you're going to encourage the new growth that's coming from below.
And I will have to saw through it.
Yes, you will. It will be a bit of a job. Make sure
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yes, okay, please.
If I have other questions, I'll call you later.
Yeah, all righty. Thank you, Yvonne. Just before we take our next break, a quick reminder that next week, we don't know at this particular point in time where we'll be, how we'll be doing the show, but I presume we might need your support by you sending Charlie an email. So if you want to jot this down, her email is this, c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. And we're coming back in just a moment to fly up to Brampton and say hi to Lynn.
I have to keep reminding Frank.
Yeah, okay.
That's what that noise was.
Right, okay.
I have all kinds of little things that I have to address here before, I'm sorry, we get to, and we'll go fast.
Yeah, okay. All right, back in just a couple of moments. Our next break is right now.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Frankie Proctor, and I've got Charlie by the hand here as we skip off down the street to Brampton to say hi to Lynn. Hey, good morning, Lynn.
And thanks for taking my call.
Morning.
Morning. I have, I believe it's called a flowering crab tree.
Mm-hmm.
It has the brilliant pinky, dark pink flowers first thing in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 30 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it flowers beautifully,
mm-hmm.
and then for the rest of the summer, it's just a disaster.
I know what you're going to say.
The flowers fall off.
Yeah, of course.
And then the leaves
all
just constantly fall, and they turn black.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I said to my husband, I think it's time to cut it down, but I'm one last effort to save it.
All right. Yeah, okay, so I can make
out there.
A suggestion there. What's happened is that crab apple that was planted, whether you planted it or the people before you planted it, the variety that got put in the ground there, as you point out, beautiful pink flowers, gets probably crab apples that even the robins will eat in the wintertime. But the point is that it is very susceptible to fungal diseases, which are causing early defoliation starting mid-summer, and it's just not a good-looking plant
from
July, August, right through.
Yeah.
Two options. What I would give it the last chance. So next spring, or even now if you're in a garden center, look for something called dormant spray.
Dormant spray?
Dormant spray. It'll be a little kit. It'll be a bag or a box with two liquids inside that you're going to mix together. One liquid is oil, horticultural oil. The other liquid is lime sulfur.
Okay.
Those two liquids are going to get mixed as per directions with water and then sprayed on the crab apple. You could do it two times. You could do it now because it's probably dormant now, but you're going to do it again next spring before it flowers. So you're going to, again, follow the directions. Temperature has to be above zero, no wind, but no growth on the plant when you do your spraying.
Right.
And that will prevent, hopefully, for sure it'll prevent insects and diseases. The question is, will it prevent sufficiently so that the plant doesn't completely defoliate midsummer?
Right. I'm tired of eating that with my dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so try it. And if it doesn't work, if it just is a god-awful mess, you're right. You may have to cut it down, but replant a crab apple. Just choose a variety, one of the newer varieties, that is resistant to all the various fungal diseases which are wiping out and defoliating early.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, that's great.
Well, good thank you very
stuff.
Much for
and
joining
thank you for
us.
Your call.
Right. We're got to answer a question that you had right off the top of the show. You mentioned birds.
Well, because I mentioned it last week. Remember I said I put up my bird feeders?
Yep.
And I pulled out old bird seed that I've had in my garage for 2 years because I haven't had feeders out during the whole move thing. And I'm proud to say, or excited to say, some of the finches have found the feeders. So we are getting some finch action. I believe I also saw some chickadees at my feeders. But Maureen Boyce, one of our you know, favorite fans, commented that she also feeds birds. And we'd love to hear more or any suggestions on best techniques for bird feeding. So one thing I learned, and this was from the Canadian Wildlife Federation, of course, we know that we want to place our bird feeders near trees or shrubs, preferably evergreens, where they can dive in for shelter, right? Because when a hawk comes overhead, the birds need to hide. Consider access to your bird feeder. So it's a snowstorm. Can you get out there and fill it, right? Because once you start feeding in the winter, you must maintain feeding throughout the entire winter. Summer, no big deal. Birds can feed themselves. But winter, they do start to rely on us. The important thing to remember as well, make sure you put your feeders where they're visible through the windows so you can see the action. Mm-hmm. But be careful that you're not so close to the windows that the poor little birds hit the windows because of the reflections, right? So be prepared for some stickers or reflectors or whatever you have to do on your glass to save the birds. And my sort of favorite part of all this was, you know, the preferred food, if you're only going to pick one bird seed because you just don't have enough room to store 101 bags of birdseed is just good old black sunflower seeds. Everybody loves black sunflower seeds. That's, you know, your finches, your cardinals, your goldfinches, your juncos, chickadees, nuthatches. Everybody loves black oil sunflower. So get a hold of that. Get it into the feeder. Get it in a place where the birds can get it and you can see them and enjoy the action. Because, boy, is it fun to feed birds. And remember as well, do not put out any, like, people food. No, no donuts, no any, you know. We can get into peanut butter in the future, but not. Sorry. Those car guys are being really silly on the other side of the glass. Well, that's more donuts for you and fewer donuts for the birds. What can I say?
Well, speaking of the car guys.
I know. They're
good
so
morning to
silly.
Dave Redinger and Alan Gelman, who supported me very strongly.
Yes, you had some great support.
Campaign.
Yeah.
So bless your heart, guys. Mm. And we're at the end of the road here, my
we
friend.
We are. So, you know, we missed a few callers, but the caller. Early, right?
Yeah.
Call early, call often. And like Frank said, don't hesitate. Send email. We'll either read them on air or read them on air. Yeah. One way or the other. We'll get to your emails.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I've actually been answering a bunch of them as well, too. So c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. Thanks, Frank. Look after your sore muscles there.
I will.
And thank you, Carlos. Thanks to our great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.